What we're having here tonight, we're going to have about 8 patients who have recovered from kinds of diseases that there are no known cases of recovery from by traditional medical methods. Person, patients, come up here, please. Okay. And we have a very interesting program, and as far as we know, this has not happened before. There have been a number of therapies, non-toxic therapies, that have had some very good results with cancer. Laetril, of course, is, as you've been hearing, is one of the very good ones. In this case, we are providing a number of other diseases as well as cancer. And there is no one better capable to present this than our next speaker. Her father was the one who developed this therapy, Dr. Max Gerson. And Charlotte Gerson Strauss is carrying on for him.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Norman. We have a very exciting program here tonight. And I am so happy. It is really a great joy to see all these happy and now healthy faces here at my side. It is, I believe, the greatest tribute to my father's work that has been paid in a long time. Thank you. As we have heard before, there is some modality of healing in various areas, especially in cancer, through various methods. But the Gerson therapy is one that really achieves basic healing. Basic healing, total healing of the body. And what does this consist of? Healing really consists of nothing more or less than to reactivate the body's own healing mechanism. My father says in his book, A Cancer Therapy, that in every body there is a healing mechanism. And the doctor does not heal, the body heals. And it is the doctor's duty to reactivate the body's healing mechanism. There's one fly in this ointment. The word healing has disappeared from the syllabus of the medical schools. It has disappeared from the vocabulary of doctors. As you well know, generally the doctors use symptomatic approaches, symptomatic treatment. If you come with a pain, he will give you something to kill the pain. But what caused the pain? The underlying problem, what is it? Usually the doctor doesn't know. We've seen a number of patients that come into the clinic quite severely ill. All the tests show normal. The doctor says, there's nothing wrong with you. Go see the psychiatrist. Many of you have heard this. The fact that their tests don't show what's wrong with you, they will not admit. If they can't give you a simple drug or a shot or an operation or a chemotherapy or something like that, then there's just nothing wrong with you. It doesn't always work like that. Let us examine healing. The only way we can look at healing is by looking at what goes wrong in the body in the first place. Why is there disease? The body is a most incredibly wonderful mechanism, a total biological unit. It is not a body that is cut up into all kinds of specialties. And the overemphasis on specialties like the heart specialist and the endocrinologist and the eye specialist and the foot specialist just doesn't work. The body is one whole, total biological unit. It works in many systems. And when something goes wrong in the body, one or more of these systems are disturbed. Dr. Gerson felt that the very basic system, the energy transfer system, and all the enzyme systems and everything that hangs together with it is the balance between potassium and sodium in the body. The potassium has to be available in large amounts to the body's cellular structures. The sodium must remain in the serum so that there's an exchange. There does have to be sodium in the body. In order to produce this correct balance, the good Lord grew for us fresh fruits and vegetables with exactly the right balances contained in them that our bodies require. Now, our scientists, food scientists, and Madison Avenue and various others have decided that they can outdo nature. They can do one better. They create convenience. They process food. They damage food. They make it chemically more attractive, more beautiful, redder, pinker. It saves better. It keeps better on the shelf. It does all kinds of wonderful things. It's easier to prepare. It saves time in the kitchen. And now you have changed, damaged, poisoned food. When you take this into your body, the first thing that happens, a body that is functioning normally gets rid of the mess, detoxifies itself. But where does your body begin to fail? In order to function and do this detoxifying job, the liver has to work very well. It needs certain materials to work with. Some of them are enzymes, and some of them are the potassium and other minerals of this group that are required to work. When these fail, the body no longer detoxifies. In that case, toxins begin to add in your system, accumulate. Then you have the imbalance created by the lack of proper potassium, proper food, proper enzymes. Potassium in the body is entirely basic. My father died in 59. In 1965, the researchers found that the potassium is the catalyst for enzyme activity, enzyme production. Without this catalyst, you cannot produce enzymes. You know already from the other speakers you've heard that in order to provide normal cell function and normal cell respiration, you need enzyme activity for the oxidation in your cell system. If these no longer function, you get into a degenerative condition called fermentative cell metabolism. This happens when the potassium is blocked and sodium penetrates the cell. Sodium is, according to these researchers of 65, sodium is an inhibitor of enzyme activity. Potassium is a catalyst, an activator. Therefore, when you get this balance, this very basic balance upset in your body, when you lose your potassium excess and sodium begins to penetrate, these enzyme systems no longer function. Then your body can do several things no longer properly. It no longer oxidizes your food into energy. It no longer digests your food properly. And if you now eat heavy foods, the protein foods, the meat, the salt, the fats, and the damaged carbohydrates, the white flour, white sugar, and so on, your body can no longer, one, digest it to the end product, two, utilize and metabolize it properly, and three, get rid of the waste materials. Now, you have, first of all, improperly digested foods that swim around in your system. You can call it excess cholesterol, or you can call it proteins that have not usually been traced. Normally, medical practice does not recognize these proteins as poorly digested and causing damage, but they do when your enzyme systems are blocked. It so happens, though, that the damaged cells, the cells that go into the fermentative metabolism, love the poorly digested proteins and thrive on them. And this is cancer. If you now eat the heavy proteins and block your system from properly digesting them, you feed your cancer cells and your body starves. The same goes for fat. In other words, the protein and fat heavy foods are going to cause you trouble when your body begins to deteriorate and lose its proper balances of potassium and sodium and lose its enzyme activity. Then what happens? You get the fermentative cells that are called cancer. These thrive on the very foods that have caused the problem in the first place. Now, in every human being, there is this healing mechanism. There's a backup system called the immune system. If you now have cells that turn fermentative and thrive on these poorly digested fractions of food and turn cancerous, just grow and grow and grow and lose their function, the immune system steps in and breaks these down and digests them and gets rid of them. So why do you have cancer? The answer is, your immune system has failed you too. Now, there's been a great deal said and written more in more recent years about reactivating the immune system. Shots have been given and all kinds of vaccines to beat this immune system into activity. This works sometimes. But when the body is severely depleted, the more depleted it is, the less this will work. So you have to start from the beginning. And what's the beginning? To change all these things back to normal. What's the beginning? First, you have to help the body detoxify. Because when the liver and the body and all the cells are damaged and poisoned, they're inert, they're inactive, they can't do anything. It's like you get buried in a cement cube. What can you do? You can't move. The first thing is a detoxifying. When you now free the body of this overload of toxicity, and Dr. Gerson did that in several ways, by vast amounts of freshly squeezed juices and by large numbers of coffee enemas to help open the bile ducts, to help decrease the toxic load so the liver could get rid of the load, detoxify and begin to act again. Now, the next thing that happens, besides the detoxifying, the liver wants to work, but it needs to be properly fed. So do the other cells in the body that are damaged need to be properly fed. And how does that happen? We've already seen that this damaged body cannot handle fats and meats and proteins. So what do we give it? Fresh food, live enzymes, live raw juices, live, freshly prepared salads and greens and fruit and freshly cooked vegetables to feed this body that is severely depleted. Then the liver again has materials to work with. And lo and behold, first we get a heavy detoxifying. The body pushes out incredible masses of materials that have apparently accumulated. Then the healing begins. Now enzyme systems are activated and turn against this cancer. Now the immune system is activated and breaks down this cancer. And the enzymes dissolve and digest these masses. And the body has to get rid of them. Now we create a brand new problem, though. These tumor masses that have to be digested cause an additional toxic system and toxic problems. And one has to step up the detoxifying, or else you can cause a self-intoxication through the healing. My father says in this book that before he was fully aware of the need of constant detoxifying, he was able to get rid of the cancer, but the patient often died 6 or 8 or 10 weeks later from a toxic, shriveled, damaged liver. But if you detoxify enough and in good quantity and get rid of the toxic materials, the body heals. The liver rebuilds. The liver is reactivated and can work again. So now, why are we just talking about cancer? We have here a number of patients who recovered from other problems. And what is in common with these diseases? What do we have in common? We have a young fellow over here who had multiple sclerosis. What is this problem? And we have a young lady over here who had rheumatoid arthritis. What created that problem? basically the same thing. When the body lacks its enzyme system, when it lacks proper digestion, when the body can no longer handle its foods properly, there's a disturbance. Does it matter now whether disturbance is in the myelin sheaths or whether it's in the immune system or whether it's on the cellular level? It doesn't make any difference. There are some disturbances going to appear. In the weakest area, the body becomes attacked. When we have a case like a rheumatoid arthritis, this is usually the problem of the inability of the body to handle proteins. You know about gout. It used to be called the rich man's disease. Why? Poor people couldn't afford enough protein to overload their bodies with protein. But the rich did. It was fashionable for the rich to eat a lot of meat and fish and poultry at every meal. Then the kidneys get overloaded, and the poorly digested and improperly handled materials that are not eliminated start to settle in the joints. And there they cause inflammation. And then they cause irritation and deposit. And then pretty soon you call it rheumatoid arthritis and the joints are stiff and painful and swollen. Does it matter what name you give the disease? The basic problem remains the same. The inability of the body to handle detoxification properly, to balance its mineral systems and its potassium-sodium level properly, and then the lack and the failure of the digestive system. And somewhere, something gives. If it's now cholesterol deposits in the arteries and you call it atherosclerosis, and you have heart trouble and high blood pressure, what's the difference? Or if you have these other disturbances, because a disturbance in the protein metabolism can cause, on the one hand, gout or rheumatoid arthritis. It can also cause schizophrenia if it happens to hit the brain instead of the joint. The basic underlying problem is still the same. So what is the approach to healing? Healing is simple and always the same. Two basic things must be done. The body has to be detoxified and supplied with the right materials to heal. When the liver gets rid of the toxic block, and when you give the body the material to heal with, it will heal itself. It will even dissolve the frozen joints, the bony excrescences. It will dissolve the swollen and stiff joints. And it will dissolve vast tumor masses, as we had with Jackie Davison, whom you've heard speak, unfortunately, shortly before, and some of you have seen her book. How is it? How is it possible? Live materials, enzymes, cut out and kill tumor tissue. Then you have to digest it and get it out of your system, and you heal. And you heal the same whether we are now talking muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis or rheumatoid arthritis, or whether it's sinus trouble or heart trouble or arteriosclerosis or high blood pressure. It doesn't make any difference. Now, Dr. Gerson found this out the hard way. He was sick himself. He was told that with his migraines, there was no cure. So he decided he'd have to find his own cure. When he had discovered what he could eat and what he couldn't eat, it was a long story, but this is what happened. He gave other patients this migraine diet when they complained of migraines, and discovered accidentally that they also got rid of their other problems. And when he found that one of them also got rid of skin tuberculosis, lupus, then he discovered a little bit later that other forms of tuberculosis also healed. And when he treated a lot of tuberculosis patients with this Gerson therapy, he found that many of those had other problems besides the TB, asthma, or heart trouble, or kidney trouble, or many cases allergies, and those disappeared. And that is how he discovered that he was not healing a disease. Mind you, he'd been trained in orthodox medicine. He'd been trained with the symptomatic approach. He was not healing a disease. He was helping the body to heal itself of whatever ailed it. It took some additional time before he was able to separate cancer from other chronic diseases. Cancer does present a more difficult, more thorough, more complete problem. But the solution is here. Help the body detoxify, balance its systems, and the body will take care of even killing off and digesting and eliminating tumor tissue. Now, we do not consider a patient cured when the last tumor is gone. For instance, we have here John Ashbow, who says that after 6 months, all his tumors were gone. Nevertheless, he stayed on the Gerson therapy for 2 years. Why? It is not just getting rid of the toxins and not just getting rid of the tumors, but when you are rid of those, now you have to rebuild all your body systems. Your liver has to be rebuilt with a good, strong, healthy set of cells. All the organs have to be restructured and rebuilt before we can say that the person is healthy. Because if after 6 months, when the last tumor had disappeared, he would go right back and eat all the regular foods again, the steak and the hamburgers and the frankfurters and the cokes, it wouldn't be long at all. Maybe a week, maybe a month or two, maybe three, and he would have new tumor tissue. Because the body first has to be restored. You see, if we would say, when the tumors are gone, this is a healing, then we would make the same mistake that orthodox medicine makes. The orthodox medicine, they cut off a breast, they cut off an arm, they take out an eye, and they say, okay, we got it all, you're cured. But what happens when 2 years later it comes back somewhere else? The tumor is only a symptom of the underlying malfunction and imbalance in the whole body. And unless you balance the body and give it back its full, total, normal function, the tumors will come back. You have not taken care of the basic problem. This is not healing. Healing is a total rebuilding of the body so that it will maintain health. First, eliminate all the problems and all the symptoms, and then maintain health. And I have the extreme pleasure in giving you a little bit of a background on these lovely people here. Somebody I hear said that these Gerson patients look healthier than anybody else. Most of them recovered from cancer. All the way over on my left and your right is Eric Goodman, 64. He originally had a malignant skin cancer removed in 1967, but you know, those things are cured by removing according to orthodox medicine. Nevertheless, in July of 1975, he had pain in his palate and the cancer recurred. The biopsy showed sarcoma. He refused surgery for removal of the jaw and roof of his mouth, but he had other problems. He had severe heart fibrillation. He had very low energy. He had had sinus trouble, headaches since he was a teenager. He had back pain from arthritis. He couldn't sleep nights. He'd sleep 2 or 3 hours and be awake and restless. And so little energy, he was mostly lying on his couch, not able to do much. On top of everything else, he had hemorrhoids. Now, people don't even want to talk about hemorrhoids, but a very large percentage of the population suffer from them, on and off, all the time. And there's not supposed to be a cure for them. There's sometimes operations are successful, but usually they come back. He started the Gerson therapy in August of 75. His heart quickly became normal without any drugs. He now sleeps well. He has good energy. He works in his garden and raises his own organic vegetables all the time. He builds and adds things to his house. He has no more sinus headaches. He also dives from 10-foot board and does fancy gymnastics. He has no more back aches, and he doesn't even have hemorrhoids anymore. I have over here at my right, the second one from the far right, John Ashbrook. He's 60 years old. It's a special pleasure to be able to present him because he was my father's patient. He's case number 13 in this book, A Cancer Therapy. If you look into it, you will see the following. In the March 1950, this is 27 years ago, eight almost, okay, 28, a bleeding mole was biopsied, and he had a malignant melanoma. In October of 50, he had new lumps under his right arm. You see what happened to his right arm, was amputated. In 1951, he had a new tumor, biopsied again, malignant melanoma. At the start, before he started on the Gerson therapy, he had new moles below the left ear. He had coughing spells, long-lasting, and x-rays showed metastases in the lungs. He had a black mass in the sternocleidomastoid muscle and other glands. Ladies and gentlemen, melanoma that spread all over the body like that is incurable by any orthodox method. Jackie Davison just talked the other day to a doctor who said he'd seen a lot of melanoma cases. She asked how many survived. How many survived? They all died. John Ashbow was at my father's clinic about 6 weeks. He says after 6 months, all the tumors had disappeared. He stayed on the full therapy for about 2 years. He now eats good, healthful food, and he remains in good working condition. 27 years survival from spread melanoma. Now, baby, you're going to say, okay, but he was under the care of the master. He had Dr. Gerson's care and supervision. But what about us? Dr. Gerson died 19 years ago. What are we going to do? Well, just to show you what can be done, we have Jackie Davison. Many of you already know her story, but let me quick go over it again. Jackie's now 40. She first noticed the tumors in August of 74 at the ripe old age of 36. In June of 75, melanoma all through her body. She lost most of her hair. Abdomen was bloated 30 pounds. There were tumors in her neck, head, chest, torso, legs. The doctor said there were no more than 2 months for her left to live and told her that death would be swift and certain. She prepared a funeral dress and gave away her possessions. She started the Gerson therapy in July of 75. Her 14-year-old daughter left school to help. During the time that she recovered, she was particularly angry at the California legislature and the doctors who are not permitted to help a cancer victim with anything but surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. There's a law which makes it a felony. No doctor is allowed to help such a patient recover. These methods that they are required to perform by law fail always. Therefore, such a patient is automatically condemned to die. By law in California. Nevertheless, Jackie, with tremendous willpower and pluck, help from her family, no others, no doctor, recovered completely. You see now she's well, looks wonderful, is active, works, does her gardening, and is in excellent energy. She wrote the book about her experiences. And it is an education to read. It takes. The name is Cancer Winner. We have it over there at the table. Another case of totally incurable malignant melanoma. No more lumps or bumps or tumors available to note in her body. You will remember that Joe Ross, the beloved athlete quarterback of University of California in Berkeley, had the same malignant melanoma. He had supposedly the best orthodox therapies, and he's dead, 21 years old. Nobody needs to die. Jackie was about as close to death as you can be and pull out of it. With enormous willpower and the book that she followed very closely, she's here and well. So you see, while Dr. Gerson was the master, what he put down in his book is sufficient for other people to follow and help themselves and become well. We have over here also right next to Jackie, we have Della Robinson. She's 78. Just so you don't say, well, it takes young people to get well. No. Della first noticed jaundice. She was heavily jaundiced in November of 74. She went to a hospital in Medford, Oregon, was given tests, and an exploratory operation showed an inoperable tumor in her liver. Liver tumors are totally incurable and deadly. By January of 75, she was given 3 days to 3 weeks to live. She was down to 67 pounds. She was sent home in severe pain with drugs and a morphine in a semi-coma. And her family helped her and started her on the Gerson therapy. In about 3 days, she was free of pain. No more morphine, no more drugs. In about 3 months, she was out of bed. No more drugs. In 6 months, she was making a tour of Canada. She has now regained her normal weight of 125 pounds. She works 5 days a week, usually some 10 hours. And when she isn't working, she likes to travel. Della Robinson. Stand up, Della. They'd like to see you. Okay. We have over here in the pink dress, Mary Lee Rourke.
I'm a pixie.
She's 34. She first noticed, she looks like 25, huh? She first noticed a nodule in her tear duct in 1970, at the ripe old age of 26. Her eye was removed in 72. Biopsy report was lacrimal carcinoma. In spring of 73, she got 6,000 rads of cobalt to the head. Between 73 and 75, she was more tired and depressed. X-ray of her chest showed new nodules in her chest, in both lungs. New biopsy showed lacrimal cancer spread through her lungs, inoperable. She was offered chemotherapy, but she'd seen her grandmother die of chemotherapy, and she turned it down. She wanted, if she needed to die, she wanted to die in dignity. She started to use some other nutritional therapy. It was not powerful enough, she called it, and it didn't help her. In October of 76, she started the Gerson therapy. At that time, she was weak and tired, and she was in almost constant pain. She had depression, edema, and she had almost totally lost her hair. This is her own hair. By the way, Jackie, too, who had lost much of her hair. This is her own hair, now black again. It was grayish and very weak and not much growth left. Mary Lee, too, has all new hair. She now is very energetic, enjoying life more than anybody I know. and she has always a sense of well-being, is full of activity. She is not really in the medical sense a cure because she's not a 5-year survival. But for lung cancer, and this shows in her x-rays show that the nodules in her lungs have calcified and are no longer active. She is now well. At this point, I'd like to make a remark. You may have seen or read the story recently about the doctor and parents in New York of a boy of 8 whom they refused to put under orthodox therapy. And he was put on the metabolic therapy, specifically the Gerson therapy with some Laetril. And he's doing well, feeling better. And the parents were accused of child neglect because he didn't get the poison, the chemotherapy and the radiation, the burning. And they were hauled before the court, and the doctor along with it. And the doctor was accused of using bizarre and barbarous, barbaric treatment, the Gerson therapy. The barbaric part of it is the coffee enemas, I'd like you to note. Okay. Now I ask you, is it barbaric to cut off arms and to gouge out eyes, or is it barbaric to heal with coffee enemas? We have another young lady over here in blue, the second one from the end, Marilyn Swanson. She's now 30. She's now 39. She is a very short Gerson therapy patient, but it is such a striking case that I can't help but tell you about it. She had an operation in 1977 in December, just 8 months ago, seven and a half months ago, on her right leg. X-rays showed a tumor invading the tibia, the fibula, and the muscles. The whole area. In other words, both lower leg bones and the muscle. Biopsy confirmed sarcoma, and the doctors wanted to cut her leg off. But they told her right away that there wouldn't be much point to it because it wouldn't heal. It would come back somewhere else. So she didn't feel that was such a good idea. The surgical incision did not heal. It stayed open. And it wasn't even healed. There were new tumors in it already. It was hard and lumpy and new tumors. She was weary and tired. Her leg was swollen. Her toes and foot were purplish. The circulation was severely disturbed. And she started the Gerson therapy. Within a few days, the scar was closed, healed. The new lumps and bumps in the scar area had become soft. Just today, I had the incredible pleasure of looking at her latest x-rays and at the radiologist's report on her latest x-rays. They're clear. No more evidence of tumor. Has good energy again, and she said before, it's wonderful to really feel good again. How long has it been, Marilyn, since you felt really good before? A long time. Total healing. We have on our extreme, on my right, on your left, Gary Heaton. He's 37. I said before he had multiple sclerosis. He corrected me. He has multiple sclerosis. He was diagnosed in 73. He's not yet 100% well, okay? He had numbness in 73. In hands and arms, he developed hypersensitivity to pain, and the deterioration continued. By March of 77, the symptoms included loss of bladder control, extensive numbness in arms and legs, poor coordination, occasional falling. He was unable to walk a straight line. He could not feel the ground under his feet. He occasionally had double vision. He needed sometimes to guide his right hand with his left hand so he could write. And the doctor told him, learn to live with it. How many of you have learned to live with it? Chronic disease, learn to live with it. Here's some drugs, here's some pain relievers, learn to live with it. Don't learn to live with it. Learn how to get rid of it. He expected to go into a wheelchair soon. He wondered whether he should continue to live. He started the Gerson therapy in March of 77 and quickly noticed some tingling replacing the numbness. He was greatly encouraged, and his improvement continues. Coordination is now good. He learned to ride a skateboard. The numbness is almost gone. Bladder control is almost normal. He is sometimes entirely free of symptoms. And he told me earlier today that you cannot quite believe the pleasure in being able to tie your shoes and to button your shirt again. Jerry. I can tell you one thing. The applause is well deserved. Not so much for getting well, but for the enormous application, the time and energy it takes to go through this therapy, to make and prepare the juices and the food, and to stick to it. It does take a great deal of determination. And for that, I think these people do deserve your applause. We have one more young lady here, the youngest one here, our baby. Diana Powell. She's 26. She had rheumatoid arthritis, totally incurable by any method. Orthodox medicine does not cure rheumatoid arthritis. It's not yet all gone, and there's a good reason for it. She's only on the therapy how long?
7 weeks.
7 weeks. Okay. At the start of her therapy, her wrists were totally swollen and stiff and immovable. They are now in pretty good shape. Her elbows were almost frozen into without movement. Her knees were frozen like this without movement. She limped. She could walk very poorly. Her ankles were swollen. Her fingers were stiff and couldn't move. She now moves her hands. Her fingers are open. Okay. She walked with difficulty. She also had heart palpitations. She had labored breathing. She was pale and anemic. She told me she put a little makeup on today, but she really has rosy cheeks again. She was on 15 to 20 aspirins a day, which barely relieved her pain. At night, she usually couldn't sleep with pain. She was facing a wheelchair in perhaps another year, at most two. And not much of a life. She felt that she was imprisoned in her body. She couldn't do things. She started the therapy only 7 weeks ago. The pain is gone. No more drugs, no more aspirins, nothing. She sleeps well. Most of the lumps have dissolved. Her knees are almost straight and normal. There's some movement now in her wrists. There's considerable movement in her elbows. She walks almost normally. We'll watch her walk later. Her ankles are free of swelling. Her hands and fingers are mostly straight. She has better circulation, no more palpitation, good appetite, and her energy is returning. This is truly an unusual case. These are just a few examples that we happen to have in this area. These are not the only cases that we covered. Many doctors will scream and yell and say, well, maybe the biopsies were an error. If the biopsies were an error, how come the eyes were gone and the arms were taken off? Was that by accident?